6. Deuteronomy, of course, being the last book of the Pentateuch, which is the first five books of the Bible authored by Moses. This is God's holy, inspired, infallible, unchanging word to you, His people. Listen attentively, follow along in your Bibles as it is read. Now, this is the commandment, the statutes, and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess it, that you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son, and your son's son, by keeping all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you all the days of your life, and that your days may be long. Hear therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And when the Lord your God brings you into the land that he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give you, with great and good cities that you did not build, and houses full of all good things that you did not fill, and cisterns that you did not dig, and vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant. And when you eat and are full, then take care, lest you forget the Lord, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. It is the Lord your God you shall fear. Him you shall serve, and by his name you shall swear. You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the peoples who are around you. For the Lord your God in your midst is a jealous God, lest the anger of the Lord your God be kindled against you, and he destroy you from off the face of the earth. You shall not put the Lord your God to the test as you tested him at Massah. You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, and his testimonies, and his statutes, which he has commanded you. And you shall do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may go well with you, and that you may go in and take possession of the good land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers, by thrusting out all your enemies from before you, as the Lord has promised. When your son asks you in time to come, what is the meaning of the testimonies and the statutes and the rules that the Lord our God has commanded you? Then you shall say to your son, we were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders great and grievous against Egypt and against Pharaoh and all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from there that he might bring us in and give us the land, and he swore to give to our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as we are this day. And it will be righteousness for us if we are careful to do all all this commandment before the Lord our God as He has commanded us. Thus far the reading of God's Word. Let us pray together. Gracious Father, we thank You for the blessing of worship. That we can come before You, that we can assemble together as one people, one body, one family in Jesus Christ, to lift up the praise, the glory, the honor due Your name, and to sit humbly beneath the preaching of Your Word. We pray that You be with us by the power of Your Holy Spirit, who inspired this beautiful gospel, and that You would be with us to apply it, despite the sins of the preacher, that it would be preached with boldness as You have intended, even as You have commanded. Father, bless us with it, we pray. Help us to honor and to glorify You as we seek to obey these commandments, these testimonies, these statutes that You have given to us for our own good. In our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. This morning we had the privilege of witnessing and taking part in the baptism of Audrey Ansel, a child of the covenant. It is a wonderful and beautiful thing to see the sign and the seal of the covenant of grace placed upon our children. It is wonderful to witness being placed on the children of our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, recognizing that God has chosen for these precious lambs to be born into His flock. Baptism, along with the Lord's Supper, are the two sacraments given to you by Christ as signs and seals of His covenant. And along with the Word and prayer, sacraments are the means by which God has chosen for you to grow and mature in grace by the power of His Spirit. Baptism is a beautiful and wonderful picture of the reality that the children of believers are holy. That means they are set apart as members of the church, part of the body of Christ. You witnessed vows being made this morning. Vows. These vows were, do you promise to instruct them in the principles of our holy Christian faith as revealed in the Scriptures and as summarized in the Confession of Faith and catechisms of this church? Do you promise to pray with and for her? Do you promise to set an example of piety and godliness before her? Do you promise by all the means of God's grace to raise her in the nurture and instruction of the Lord? Many of you have made these vows when your own children were baptized. Do you recall making those vows in the presence of many witnesses? These are not merely just some nice words to say on a nice occasion. These are vows. These are promises. They are solemn oaths made before God and the church. And these promises are to be taken seriously and are not to be forgotten stuck in the back of your head with the rest of the nostalgia of the time. Listen to the extent of these vows. A vow to instruct the child in the principles of our holy religion, teaching them the Scriptures, reading to them the Bible, explaining it to them, teaching them not only what the Bible says, but what it means. Teaching them the summary of its doctrine as it is laid out in the Confession of Faith, and memorizing those points of doctrine in the Catechism. A vow to be praying with the children and for the children. A vow to set an example of piety and godliness. To set an example. a promise to endeavor by all means of God's appointment, all the means of His grace, to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. You hear the serious tone in the language given here in these vows, to endeavor by all means. That you are going to do this by all the means God has given you. It is your mission. And you are to lead it by setting the example of piety and godliness in your own lives. These are vows that are made to God. The vows are made to God in front of the entire body. Scripture passage this morning in Deuteronomy 6, especially verses 1 through 9, sets forth a great summary of the duties of a Christian parent. Begins in the first three verses. Now this is the commandment, the statutes and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess it, that you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son and your son's son, by keeping all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you all the days of your life, and that your days may be long. Hear therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, in a land flowing with milk and honey. Moses is saying, here are God's laws. They're given for your good, for your blessing, for your benefit, that you would live long and prosper in the land the Lord is giving you. They are a blessing for you. They are a blessing for your children. They are a blessing for your children's children after you. The goal of God's law is the fear of the Lord, which, as in our study through Job, we've seen often, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A wise life lived under the commandments of the Lord in humble service and obedience and joy. Not just your fearing the Lord, but a multi-generational fear of the Lord passed from parents to children to grandchildren and on down the line. What a wonderful testimony it is to look at the lives of saints where this is evident. Consider our dear brother Jim Ziegler, who went home to be with the Lord this last week. His faithful testimony is seen not only in his life and what people have to say about the man and how he was a godly man, but more than that, in the life of his children, in the life of his grown children, and more than that, in the life of his grandchildren. Think about that. Think about how powerful that testimony is, to see the godly lives of his children and his grandchildren. But it didn't begin with Mr. Ziegler. It goes back behind him, to his parents, and to their parents, and to their parents before them. John says they don't know a time in their genealogy where there weren't believers. What a blessing that is. What a beautiful testimony of God's blessing placed upon the efforts of faithful parents. Generation after generation, parents endeavoring by all the means of God's grace to raise their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And the Lord blessing that. He continues in verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. The Lord, through his servant Moses, goes from commands to obey his holy laws, his statutes, his testimonies, straight to a command of love. This is because love for God, that fear of the Lord that grips your heart, is the key to the law. It is the key to obedience. As Jesus says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." This is the first and great commandment. Matthew 22. Not just obedience without love, but obedience through love. And we love Him because He first loved us. And these words that I command you today, He says in verse 6, shall be on your heart. God's covenant is for His people. His abiding moral law that never changes, that never ends, His moral law, fulfilled in Christ, the gospel of salvation by grace, the promises, the blessings, all of it is for you who are in Christ. Life as a member of God's covenant community, His church, is not merely carried out through external actions. That's not ultimately where the obedience lies. He says, these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. These commandments that I'm giving you shall be on your heart. God is concerned with your heart. Yes, He's concerned with your outward behavior, your actions, what you say, what you do. Those things are not unimportant. But fundamentally, what you do flows out of your heart. It is a reflection upon your heart. So that everything you do should come from a heart that is in submission to God's will as you seek to honor and glorify Him in everything you do. As your heart commitment to Him is made evident in all your actions. However, this is not just about you. We're not just saved as individuals, as we learned this morning in our Sunday school class from Pastor Brack. We're saved as a body. We're united together by the power of the Holy Spirit. Your covenant relationship with God is not lived out in isolation. It reaches out and touches everything in your life, every relationship that you have. It affects your marriage, how you live with your husband, how you live with your wife, how they put up with you. It affects your family, your relationships at work, your close friendships in the church, how you live together as the church of Jesus Christ. You are all members of one body, united together as brothers and sisters in one family. Particularly this morning, we're going to look at how your covenant relationship with God affects how you raise your children. He says in verse 7, "You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise." You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall teach them, not just passing on information. Molding, impressing, shaping, sharpening. This is done over the course of many years with faithfulness and consistency. You can't just sit down for one afternoon and teach a child the things of God's Word. We're all still learning, aren't we? It is an ongoing process that takes place from the child's earliest years, even into adulthood, where, Lord willing, they will begin to teach their own children. Impressing upon your children the things of God, His covenant, His law, His gift of salvation in the death of Jesus, His enduring faithfulness, His blessings, His curses, His holiness, His wrath, His power, His tender mercy, His loving kindness. And to teach them diligently. diligently. A steady perseverance with attention to detail. Diligence. Take care as you go about teaching and training your children in the ways of the Lord. Be diligent. Be committed to this most important of tasks in the Christian life. Your children are God's covenant children, and you are to teach them to obey His laws as He has given them in His Word. This is a constant, perpetual responsibility. You're to do this, as we read this morning, when you're at home. You're to do this in your homes. And you're also to do it when you're by the way, it says. When you're out and about, taking every opportunity that's made available to you. When you're driving around in the car and you have lots of spare time. Maybe taking a moment to turn the radio off and to talk about things. I remember my dad used to take that opportunity to quiz me in the catechism when we'd be driving back and forth. I didn't always enjoy it as a child, but I appreciate it now. Wherever you are, and to do it, it says, when you go to bed and when you rise up in the morning. In the morning and in the evening, from sunrise to sunset. So basically, everywhere, all the time. It is to be a constant part of your daily routine as a family. It's to be interwoven with everything you do. Always to be seeking more opportunities to teach, to train your children. Always looking for that opportunity to learn more about God through His Word together as a family. One important way to do this is to have that regular time of family worship every day where you simply come together to read Scripture, maybe talk about it a little bit. What does it mean? To learn a catechism question, to sing a song of praise to God, and to pray together. Remember that vow, to pray with and for your children. Fathers, God sets the primary responsibility on you. He sets the responsibility on you to bring up your children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. That responsibility is not primarily given to the mother. It's given to the father. Be the leader in helping to make sure you always take the time to have these family devotions, despite how busy your schedules may be. Don't allow the extracurricular activities to crowd out the essential time for instruction and worship in the home. He says, "You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." He says them, of course, he's talking about these commandments, these statutes of the Lord. Bind them as a sign on your hand. Have God's law constantly before you so that you do not forget it, as if it were bound to your hand and fastened firmly between your eyes to be your constant guide in all that you do, so that it is always before you. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, it says. You don't have to take this literally. But what he's talking about here is just as the Israelites placed the blood of the sacrificial lamb on the doorpost as a sign pointing to the deliverance God brought ultimately through Jesus, the only sacrifice to pay for your sin, the gospel of salvation by grace through faith alone, through the finished work of Christ alone, is to be constantly before you as the foundation of who you are as a family. That is what makes up your identity as a family. The gospel of grace and living together as a family in light of that, with hearts of thankfulness. The confession of faith and catechisms are wonderful tools for you to use to keep the truth of God's word constantly in front of you and in your memory. Parents, what do you ultimately want for your children? What are your hopes, dreams, aspirations, desires? What things from your childhood have you imposed upon them? Do you want them to be successful in the eyes of all around them? To make money? To be happy? What you should want more than anything else in this life is for them to love the Lord. No matter what they do in this life, and no matter how you feel about it, their career choices or whatnot, where they choose to go to school, whatnot, no matter what they do in this life, this is the most important thing. How much training will they receive in math, in science, in English, in history, over the course of their years in study? You think about the hours upon hours upon hours, the time spent on homework, on projects, on papers. Should they not receive so much more training in the most important subject in this life? Should they not be trained just as diligently in the things of the Lord, in His Word, in His commandments, in His statutes? And that is what these vows are all about. Vowing to train them in the fear and instruction of the Lord. Prepare them for a life of service to Christ in His church, no matter what other training they receive and what other vocation they are called to. To prepare them for a life of service to Christ in His church. They must see first that you love the Lord. You must teach them by regular instruction, but also by example, to love and obey God. The patterns you set in your home, in family worship, what your own views are on participation in the life of the church will no doubt rub off on your children. The patterns you set in your home will affect your children. Those who are raised to be at worship whenever possible, and to seek the life and fellowship of the body, to delight in that, will grow up with that being second nature. That's what they're going to be used to. We always went to worship growing up, no matter what. We always sought to reach out to others in the body, to make friendships, to make fellowship, to make opportunities for that. And so that's what they're going to grow up knowing. And that's what they're going to grow up doing. And that's what they're going to teach their children after them. Children who are raised with other views will likewise find those to be second nature. Examine yourselves to see if you are setting a good example for your children. The patterns you're setting in your home, that these are the things you're going to want your children to teach your grandchildren. Is this how you are going to want your grandchildren to view life as a member of the body of Christ? Children are learning all the time. Of course, whether you think you're teaching them or not. Catechize them. Worship with them. Model Christ-likeness for them. Model Christian love and humility for them. What a wonderful blessing. What a blessing and a privilege it is to raise covenant children. It is a blessing. It is a privilege. Parents, raising your children to know and love the Lord is the most important thing that you can do. It is more important than fame, fortune, or success in this world. Was Mr. Ziegler a wealthy man? I have no idea. What did he do in business? I have no idea. I don't know a thing about what his occupation was. I don't know if he died a millionaire or a pauper, and I don't care, because his testimony is that he was faithful to his family. And that is the most powerful testimony any of us can leave. If you make millions and are hugely successful in this world, but neglect your duties to your family in order to do so, then you've failed. May your hope be the same that is held forth as the hope of God in Deuteronomy chapter 6. That your children and your children's children will fear the Lord. That is God's goal here. That is what He says. I'm giving these things to you to teach them diligently to your children, that your children will fear me and love me and I can bless them, and that your children's children will fear me and love me. God is using you to mold and to shape His church. He has entrusted these children to you for a time in order that you would raise them, teach them, train them to live as a child of the King in His world for His glory. Hold fast your commitment to fulfill the vows that you made to God concerning these children, to instruct them in the principles of our holy Christian faith as revealed in the Scriptures and as summarized in the confessions of faith and catechisms of this church, to pray with and for them, to set an example of piety and godliness before them, and by all the means of God's grace to raise them in the nurture and instruction of the Lord. Endeavor by God's grace to do your very best with the constant prayer that the Lord will bless your efforts by the power of His Spirit with that multi-generational faith, and that your children's children's children will be loving and serving the Lord no matter what else they're doing in this life, and raising your great, 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 great grandchildren to do the same. Amen. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we thank You for Your faithfulness despite our own unfaithfulness to You. That we are sinful people, that we struggle, that we allow other things to take priority over Your word and over Your commandments given to us. Father, we pray that by the power of Your Spirit, You would be with all the parents here, that You would help them to constantly be seeking to place Your word, Your statutes, Your testimony, Your commandments at the forefront of the lives of the families in this church. That we would always make it our highest priority to be training Your covenant children to love and to fear You. Father, we pray that You would bless these efforts by Your humble people, and that You would work powerfully in the hearts of our children by Your Spirit, that You would make good on that baptism, on the mark that You have placed upon them, that they are a member of Your covenant community, that they would be able to come and to own this covenant as their own, and that You would raise them in order that they would grow to have children of their own, and that the cycle would continue, this cycle of grace. Father, without You, we are lost. Without You, we deserve death and hell. We thank You for the gospel of grace that You have poured out upon us. Not for anything that we bring to You, not that we could ever earn it, but despite our sinfulness, You have chosen us in Your grace to pour Your grace out upon us in Jesus Christ. Father, we praise You for this, and we pray that You would help us to respond appropriately, that You would help us to keep in front of us these vows that we have made, to take them seriously, Father, and to live our life according to these vows, just as You are constantly faithful to us. Father, we pray these things in the name of our risen Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.